Hi there, it's Aubrey from Be the Evidence podcast. Susan, Grace, and I are so grateful that you are here, that you're tuning in, that you're showing up, that you're listening, that maybe this podcast is spurring conversation and contemplation in your worlds. That is a tremendous honor for us to be a part of. Thank you, sincerely. Before we get into the podcast, just wanted to let you know a couple of things. Susan and I run a community platform at www.betheevidence.live. It is a membership site where individuals and members get access to a lot more goodies than are just offered on our podcast. So after every podcast, Susan and I record a 12 sun sign astrology forecast with tarot cards for everybody based upon the themes that come up in our podcast. That's only accessible if you're a member. On top of that, what you find in the membership site is presence practices that are pertinent to the shifting energies. There are weekly live calls. There are pop-up calls that can be in the spur of moment of, hey, this is shifting. Let's dissect a conversation around it. Or there are tarot cards where everybody can pop up and get a tarot card pulled for them. There's a lot going on in BeTheEvidence.live, and it's truly a platform to help uplift, motivate, and center and ground all of us as we move through these shifting energies throughout 2019 and into 2020, because the reality is we all need a little bit of help. And so if that's something that speaks to you, know that we are here and we would love to see you at our next live call, which happens weekly. If that is of interest, please go and check out www.betheevidence.live. And now here's the podcast. I feel like you're doing a little yahoo.
Oh my God, it's a new day. Wow.
New day, new week. Here we are, beginning. Yeah.
We're still here.
Right.
So we're recording this on Monday the 18th of February, but it's going to go up Tuesday the 19th when there's a full moon in Virgo. Mm-hmm. As we're recording earlier this morning, about 6 hours ago, seven hours ago, Chiron has shifted into Aries out of Pisces. It was in Pisces for 8 years, a whole lot of nearly drowning lessons in letting go of our suffering and healing out of it. For Chiron and Pisces people, if you're listening, you made it. Good job.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. Now it's Chiron and Aries people. And before Chiron went into Aries, I was a little nervous. I was nervous that it was going to be that same drowning feeling in Pisces. It's not Pisces. Aries is not Pisces. It's a lot of fire. It's a lot of power and strength. And we're going to be healing how we've used our inner power and strength to hurt ourselves and each other, but also to redirect it in ways that it should be used for. Now that Chiron has left Pisces, when this goes up, sun will have clicked into 0 degrees Pisces and the full moon is at 0 degrees Virgo. I think that's trying to say that you've been through a lot. Now come back,
mm-hmm.
Come back to presence, come back to being here, come back to having faith and trust that you have always been guided. You've never been dropped. It's Mercury at Neptune right now, whenever the full moon is in Virgo. You're in Aries. Do you feel nervous about that Chiron stuff coming in?
A little bit. I mean, but I think it's because it's coming in on the tailwind of the last 8 years. So we're so new into it that I still am really deeply aware of the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And the suffering that went on at the hands of it. So therefore, I'm a little like, I'm gun shy, I think. I'm like, is this going in a good way? Because those last 8 years, they've packed some walloping punches.
Right. Is this just going to be a new way to have my ass handed to me? Wow.
Right. And because of being in Aries, I'm like, well, I know what that looks like. I know that feistiness. And if it looks like this, then I think I should be a little
We were talking, I think it was in the live call, wasn't it? We were talking about how, if you look back at the last 8 years with Chiron and Pisces, that a lot of people resisted it. They didn't want to heal out of their suffering. They made it a lot worse for themselves. And maybe we can do better this time. Maybe with Chiron and Aries, we can let it arrive with flow and ease and acceptance. And whenever Chiron tries to show us that we've actually caused some harm with our strength, we can be humbled about it and go, okay, well, how do we heal out of it? How do we do better?
Right.
And rather than fighting it in defensiveness and going, I've never done anything wrong. Okay. Yeah, you have.
Right. Well, I think that it takes us into that conversation about like looking at the light aspects of Aries, of like that it's actually there more as a protector, right? Like it's not when you're in shadow, right? Like you're really reactive and you can jump the gun very quickly. But a lot of the good aspects about Aries is that being able to protect, being able to bodyguard, as you've said, you know, like being able to hold that energy of, I'm going to stand in my integrity and respond to the boundaries, respond to the highest calling, and help usher it in a different way than has been done before.
Right. Like there's some things that we're not mad enough about.
Right.
There are injustices happening in the world where it would be very healthy for us to get more mad and do something about it.
Right.
Especially if you come from privilege, especially right. if you've had a hand in participating in hurting a whole class of people or hurting people who are closest to you because you thought, oh, well, this is just how I am. They can deal or not. Is it just how you are? Or could you maybe level up in the octave of how you treat this energy and be kinder to people or direct it towards protecting people that you love instead of lashing out at them? All kinds of ways where I think we're going to have to admit to ourselves where we've been misguided and not fall into shame, mm-hmm. but have it be a challenge to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that challenge to be better is really this weekend. I spent, as I do, I think a lot of weekends, most of my time out in the woods outside of homework. And I was having like that thought of on the way out to this national forest, it's been a lot of farmlands that have been degraded and destroyed and replaced with like popped up homes, right? Like how quick can we put the homes up and they're done with what I would consider a lack of integrity. There's a lack of sustainability. There's barns next to them that are 200 years old at least. And then there's homes that have just been thrown up in maybe 3 weeks time that I know will not be lasting for another 200 years, right? And about like that type of, I think, integrity, but also like using that Aries passion, right? To stand for not only how have you harmed other people, but also like how have you taken advantage or energetically pulled from the earth, from others, from yourself in ways that were not in alignment. And how do you change it?
Yeah, so the line between Pisces and Aries astrologically, Pisces is as above. It's right. The 12th sign of the zodiac. It rules divinity and spirit and karma. And then, boom, we click into Aries. Now we're incarnated human. This mm-hmm. is incarnated human. How, as incarnated humans, have we gone too far? Right. Have we been operating from arrogance, mm-hmm. from dominance, from superiority, when we are not? We are not superior to Mother Nature.
Right.
We're not. That is completely misguided. And we are going to pay the price for it. Right. We're paying the price for it now.
Right.
But we can become humbled and use our strength as humans to solve problems and be supportive of repairing and supporting the healing of the world. Mm-hmm. That has to do with the earth, has to do with the way that we grow our food, has to do with oppression and suppression of people of vulnerability.
Right.
It's everywhere. And I think that in the first 10 degrees, it'll be probably a concentration on how we've hurt ourselves, mm-hmm. where we pushed ourselves too hard when we've said, just fucking suck it up and keep going, bitch. I mean, like, whoa, that's right. mean. The ways that we've been mean to ourselves, pushed ourselves too far, the ways that we've destroyed relationships and said, well, that's just how I am. No, it's not. The ways that we've hurt ourselves. Mm-hmm. Second 10 degrees or second deacon, we'll start to interact with us in the world. And then the final 10 degrees, it'll be like, how do we solve these problems so that going forward, we don't have to do this much repair work again.
Right.
It's a lot. I think my concern, and we'll see, but I think it's a legitimate concern. I think that in the first 10 degrees, people are going to fall into shame. Like, just feel so bad about themselves, about the harm they've caused to themselves and to other people. Namely, how we participated in our own suffering. The last 8 years of trying to heal ourselves out of suffering. Now the focus is, where did you agree to that knowingly? Where did you agree to that knowingly? And the consequences of that. Man, I feel instant shame just saying that.
Right.
And that's not going to get us anywhere. Shame will not get us anywhere. Shame, recognizing the shame and recognizing we don't want to live there will, but staying in shame is not where we grow.
No. And I think we talked about that a lot with our members on the live call this past week about how shame is really a fantastic tool to halt growth. Like, it just throws up boundaries and completely in walls and takes you out of that active participation with life, with spirit, with God, whatever you want to call it, right? It moves you into this place of, oh, guilt and shame. And then how do you grow from there? Like, how do you actually evolve from there? It's like that quote from Brené Brown keeps ringing in my brain about, shame cannot survive. Shame cannot survive being spoken and being met with empathy. That if we move into a place of empathy and awareness and consciousness and sort of like what the full moon in Virgo is bringing of being actually present with the ways that we've participated, with the ways we've agreed to hurt ourselves and to like step out on our highest truth, then we can actually use that feeling of shame and feeling of guilt to propel ourselves into a deeper understanding, into a more embodied awareness, into a deeper presence within ourselves, and clear off the debris and the residue that keeps us from really like being heart-led and open to new possibilities.
It's going to be really tricky. Yeah. Because if we're going to heal our humanness, right, incarnated human, that means you've got to be present and being right. Human. And that means that when other people start coming up to the surface and going, oh fuck, I think I did a lot of damage. Not going, that's right, you did, you motherfucker. Instead going, okay, well, how do we move forward from here?
Yeah.
Like if offering it up to ourselves, when we look up and go, I think I've caused a lot of harm. Being like, okay, well, awareness is everything.
Yeah.
What do we do now? Treating yourself that way, but then also treating others that way. That's tough. I mean, I always say that forgiveness arrives in a whisper, that you can't force it, you can't fake it. That after you've done enough work and enough time has passed, you look up and something shifts like a whisper when you're like, I think I'm okay with all of it. Mm-hmm. I think I'm okay. And you have forgiveness that arrives in that way. What if Chiron and Aries is going to force us to work harder than that for forgiveness? Mm-hmm. If it's going to be real hard to face ourselves and to face each other whenever the truth of what we've done comes up.
It wouldn't surprise me in a lot of ways because of the conversation we had last week about the mirrors, you know, and about how it's so much easier to project and to blame other people for our suffering. Or to look at, oh, I got into that really bad relationship with that person. We argued the whole entire time. But, you know, it was their fault. They were the culprit. And to not look at how we were defending something. We were defending our ego at that moment, right? And I think that work requires mirrors in a lot of ways. It requires us to walk forward and step up and say, are you willing to dismantle the ways that you hold shame? Are you willing to be truthful and present with the places that do not feel that great? Of that, hey, I projected all of my needs onto other people, and then when they didn't deliver the way I determined that they should deliver them, I castrated them. I threw them under the bus, and then I imploded the relationship because that's how I handled it, right? To step back and say, I'm not I need that awareness so I can come into presence and that can be over and I can heal myself from here.
Yeah, that's a really difficult thing that I have been facing. And I think it's because I knew this Chiron and Aries shit was coming, is the ways that I have tried to force something, force it into being, because my ego said, this is what's going to happen now.
Right.
Force it into being. It's been easy for me to admit I forced something into being and I wasn't being honest with myself about how toxic that person was.
Right.
It is very difficult for me to admit that I forced something into being, including forcing them into some place they didn't want to be.
Right.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is really uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. And I think this, so far what I'm getting is that we just need it. We're being seasoned. We're becoming experts. And how do you sit with discomfort? I was talking to a friend this morning and she's like, I said something about, oh, well, they're just not energetically aware. And she's like, that has not a damn thing to do with you. Like, your job is to sit with, how are you being energetically aware? And where are you becoming uncomfortable because of that? Like, to really sit in this place of being becoming comfortable with all of the ways that we have participated in our own harm, and doing so with a lovingness, right? Of, wow, I chose that and I put it on other people. I put it on a job. I put it on a house. I projected every which way. And now I'm going to pull my energy back. I was doing a practice last week for my PhD, and it was on a meditation about like loving kindness. And part of the practice was to visualize the people that make you the angriest, to visualize the places where you get really triggered with yourself. And immediately I was like, no, you don't want me to fucking do that. You don't want me to fucking do that.
I will combust.
Right. You don't want me to fucking do that, right? But then I sat with the practice and I was like, oh, it was easier for me to do that with looking at other people, right? Like, it was easier for me to be like, oh, I've got a lot of like anger with this person. I can breathe into it. Like, I can see how to distance myself from them and give them some space, as that they're just humans having their own human interaction and their storyline has not a thing to do with me. I had more reactivity when I was trying to take the same approach with the places where I hold shame, where the places I am angry with myself for participating in my own suffering. It was required a lot more work on my behalf to sit with that and be like, all right, and now what do we do? That is over. I hear you. I see you. I participated in that. I feel you. And now what choices do we make given that knowledge?
Let me ask you something, and I really don't know the answer to this. Do you think that that is just internal shame? Or do you think that we enjoy telling the story of, oh, look what happened to me, and I'm perfect and amazing. It was all on them. My victimhood makes me look like a hero. Aren't I amazing? When it's like, that's not the story, woman. Mm-mm. That's not the story. That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. You were in it too.
Yep.
And feeling like you could be looked on with shame for your part in it too.
Right. I mean, I think it's a mixture of both, right? And then I think there's also the study of epigenetics where we know that we are embodying shame that's passed on from our ancestors. And I think at some point in time, there was like, at some point in time in our evolution, that was a badge of honor. Look at what I withstood. Look at how I was a mercenary. Look at how I gave up my limbs for this cause, right? That was a badge of honor. We wore it with pride. And then I think it has slowly morphed itself into a storyline that's really fucking addictive.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, let me carry on with the story of how I've been wronged, how I've been hurt, how I've been at the hands of a ton of abuses, not because that they haven't happened and not because they weren't valid experiences, but because we start to build identities around them, right? Rather than disengaging and saying that was an experience that happened, and I'm somebody else because of it. I mean, I look at it a lot of times, like picking out a wardrobe, right? Like, we would never be like, oh, well, I was given this yellow shirt, and so therefore my personality is yellow. I always have to be in a state of bubbliness and lovingness and really joyfulness because I was given this yellow shirt. We would never do that, right? We would be like, oh, I'm going to put something else on because I'm a complex individual. I will do multiple things. But then I think sometimes we get into our stories and we use our stories as if they are our identities, rather than to pull back and recognize that they're just shirts. They're just experiences. They're just stones that we've stumbled upon that have carried weight because they contribute to our journey and our overall story, but they don't determine who we are. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But then I also wonder if the nobleness of martyrdom, right?
Right.
If it's also, particularly through religion, mm-hmm. if there's also an element of the goal is to be as sin-free as possible, mm-hmm. and if you're not, there are severe consequences. There have been times when people have been burned. There have been times when we've been in prison for believing the wrong things, much less committing adultery or whatever. Like, the ways that it is had severe collective consequences if we as individuals have made choices that have caused harm. Mm-hmm. Like, what if there's a meme going around that's been going around for a while about a tribe of people who, whenever somebody causes harm mm-hmm. in some way, they have that person stand in the middle of a circle and everyone stands there and yep. tells them everything that's wonderful about them
yep.
so that they can get into their higher self and shed the lower darkness.
Right.
Right. Not to treat them as, how dare you?
Right.
Like, what it, I have an emotional charge on that one. I think there's going to be times in the next 8 years of Chiron and Aries when we're going to have to face ourselves when we go, oh fuck. Mm-hmm. I have to admit that out loud. Maybe you don't. Okay. If you don't have people around you that you trust that can think well of you, even right. when you're admitting that you've caused harm, maybe you don't. Maybe right. you go into meditation.
Right.
But if you have people who can think well of you no matter what, and you go, can you please hold space for me? I feel like I need to state this and bring it into truth so right. that I can deal with it. That, and if you're the person holding space, your job is to hold space and go, I got you.
Right.
I got you. I'll think well of you no matter what. Here we go. And be able to admit those kinds of things so that you can heal out of them and redirect your strength to where you're not going to cause harm again. Or if you cause harm, it'll be accidental and you can heal that too.
Right.
The ways that we've intentionally caused harm or caused harm out of reactivity or unconsciousness or blaming everyone else except ourselves and not taking responsibility, those are going to be things that we have to admit. And I think that we would be wise to recognize everyone is under the same sky and be able to offer up support for people when we witness them going through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be doing it differently, right? That would be like leading. I think we've lived in societies where we're used to that fear mongering, right? That, how could you ever do this? How dare you? And we lead with shame and we lead with guilt. I mean, like, that, this is the work of Dr. Brené Brown entirely, of like how we have used shame and guilt to corrode our own personal power, our own awareness of self, right?
Our honesty.
Our honesty, all of it, our personal strength, our intuition, like you can just go down this cascade list, right? And then to be able to, one, be met, whether it be you're meeting yourself through meditation or you're being met with community around you that is able to house you being completely vulnerable and honest in ways that you've never embodied before. And then two, to be able to be met in a manner where it's like, I hear you. I can tell that that was hard for you. I can tell that you participated in that in a way that you did not feel it true to your integrity. And here's what I love about you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being raw and vulnerable. that's a completely different storyline that, like, collectively we have not written.
It's also, if you have come from a chaotic or abusive childhood, mm-hmm. what you learn over time is that there's a whole lot of internal work that you have to do, and then you have to have help from the outside to help you to heal. But the way that you come, often the way that you come full circle, is doing it differently for the next generation, whether it's your children or children around you or nieces and nephews or kids in school, that you participate as an adult of doing it better for the next people. Right. So I'm not saying let's put all everything on our children and that's the only way we're going to heal. I'm saying that whenever we go through a process of trying to heal how we've done something that caused harm to ourselves and each other before, is I think it's going to become important to proactively take different action now to prove to ourselves the capacity of the good that we can do and not just identify with what feels like bad.
Right. But I think there's something too there about rectifying it through like the, not necessarily with children, but through the energy of a child, right? Like where you would, how you would approach a child would be in a very like, hey, I just lost my temper. Sorry. I will work on that. I apologize. That's not who I truly want to be, especially around you. That's not the example I would like to set for you. So I'm going to work on that by being present, but I need to acknowledge it in order for you to see that what I just chose was not what I would really like to choose for myself or for you to choose.
Treating adults that way too, right? Yeah.
Meeting ourselves in that manner and having those conversations as you would a child.
Sure.
Yeah.
But why as a child? I think what we're speaking to is us as humans meeting each other out from under distress.
Yeah.
That means thinking well of ourselves and each other to be like, we're not going to let this define what we're going to do. We're going to heal, find a better way, admit it, move up, move forward.
Yeah, because I think what we're really talking about is being called back into innocence, being called back into the realm of imagination. You know, like, you don't access the realm of imagination when you are convoluted by the world's suffering. It's very difficult to be in that state of imaginative creativity if you're constantly looking at how wrong and how horrible things are. Right. And so if we're really, truly, like, as we've been saying in all of the podcasts, coming out of suffering, then we are going to have to acknowledge all of the places that we participated in hurt so that we can return to our own innocence, talk to ourselves as if we are still children so that we can create and cultivate that new imagination, that creativity of, I wonder what it would look like to be in a relationship where I feel alive, or in a career where I am abundant because I'm using and thinking of things ways I've never had to think of them before.
And innocence doesn't mean perfect.
Right.
We're still going to screw up. We're still going to make decisions and go, why the hell did I do that? Right. We're still going to spin out sometimes. It's seeing the world as new in every single moment. Full moon in Virgo.
Yep.
Come back here and see the world as brand new in every single breath.